take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Mark chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 32 through 42 in just a moment. We're continuing our series tonight, Emotions. How are you really feeling? Be sure to be back next week. We're going to be discussing the emotion of anger. How many of you ever get angry? Amen. Well, we want to be able to get angry in a way that is not sinful, but that glorifies and honors the Lord. And so join us next week as we learn from Jesus how to deal with the feelings of anger. Amen. Tonight, we're looking at freedom from anxiety. Freedom from anxiety. And I think there are times when we all struggle with anxiety. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I have faith in Jesus. I believe the promises of God's word. But honestly, at times, I too experience anxiety. There are times when the weight of my circumstances, the unrelenting and ever-growing list of things that need to be done in a very challenging and ever-changing ministry landscape, I sometimes find myself, you know, especially when there's something pressing, stirring awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm tossing back and forth. And when I realize it, you know, I have to stop and whatever it is that's on my mind, I begin surrendering it to the Lord. And then I'll have to move into praying in the spirit. And after doing that for a while, I will begin to experience, you know, the peace and rest of the Lord and be able to go back to sleep. But we all struggle with feelings of anxiety. You know, our mind races with our responsibilities, with all the things that are pressing on us, all the concerns of the future. And it's sometimes difficult to quiet our mind and to calm our soul. In fact, in my case, I've found that since my battle with cancer, I can't handle stress the way I did before. And I don't know if it's the emotional, spiritual toll of going through such a trying experience, or it's the fact that there's a complete lack of hormones in my body, which can also affect how we deal with stress and experience anxiety. But even as a pastor who loves Jesus, who faithfully follows him and walks by faith, I find myself at times struggling with very real feelings of anxiety. And I'm pretty sure that there are several people listening to me right now, if not all of us, who are able to relate, because we all go through seasons where we experience anxiety, especially through the last couple of years, because it's been a hard season. How many of you would say the last couple of years have been a hard season? Amen. We've had the pandemic, we've had the shutdown, we've had economic challenges. Now we have inflation through the roof, and then we have threats of war with Russia and the Ukraine, and we have the guy on the other side of the Pacific shooting off, you know, intercontinental ballistic missiles that he's testing, and all these things are going on in the world, you know, and it's all of these stresses, especially the pandemic, has resulted in a dramatic increase in violence nationwide, like people attacking flight attendants on a plane simply because they're saying put on a mask, or threatening a coffee shop worker with a gun for forgetting their cream cheese on their bagel. Did you see that on the news? Or someone else shot a store clerk who asked him to put on a mask. He went out to his car, got a gun, came back in and shot the store clerk simply because she asked him to put on a mask. But people are so filled with anxiety, they're on edge. Have you noticed that? People are just on edge. And it's no wonder our world has been turned upside down by the pandemic, and we got a glimpse of how quickly everything that we count on can change. We realized how fragile our life and the world is, and it's left people feeling unsettled, anxious, uncertain about the future. In fact, according to the National Center for Health, the number of people experiencing anxiety has increased dramatically in 2020 and 2021. The numbers aren't out yet for 2022, of course, because we just started. But in 2019, before the pandemic, 8.2% of adults were experiencing symptoms of anxiety disorder. However, a 2021 CDC study revealed that the percentage of adults with recent symptoms of anxiety increased tremendously. In 2020, it shot up to 36.4% of people, and in 2021, it went up to 41.5%. That's 2 in every 5 people at this present moment are experiencing anxiety. And in this series, Emotions, How Are You Really Feeling?, we're considering some of the emotions that Jesus encountered in ministering to others and some that he expressed himself. And as you can probably guess, today we're going to talk about anxiety. And it's important for us to note that anxiety is a very complicated issue. All right. Anxiety can be physiological. It can be caused by certain medical conditions. I mentioned earlier that a lack of hormones has affected my dealing with anxiety. In fact, I had to do some research online and I started taking magnesium, and magnesium has greatly helped in that area. So there can be physiological reasons, and there can be situational reasons. You know, sometimes our anxiety is because we're going through a particular situation at the moment that is making us feel anxious. It can also be emotional, or it can even be spiritual. Sometimes something is happening spiritually, or sometimes we have done something that maybe we are uncomfortable with before the Lord, and it is making us feel anxious. So there can be many reasons. It can be emotional, it can be spiritual, it can be an attack of the enemy that's causing us to feel anxious. So in addressing anxiety, it's always good to take a holistic approach. What does that mean? Look at all four of these reasons and address each one. So you may want to check with your doctor if you have a chronic issue with anxiety to see if there's something physiological. Maybe there's a hormonal imbalance, or it's some deficiency, B12 deficiency or something in your body. So you may want to check with your doctor. You may also want to speak with a Christian therapist to discuss what's going on with you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist, but as a pastor, I want us to look at the very real emotional and spiritual struggle with anxiety that so many of us, 2 out of 5, are experiencing, if the statistics are right, and I want us to consider it from a spiritual perspective. Today, we're going to talk about how Jesus dealt with anxiety. And when we talk about as a Christian, for many, talk about anxiety as a Christian, for many, it prompts the question in our heart, if I feel anxious, am I failing God? Am I disappointing God? Am I not trusting God? Do I not have enough faith? Is it a sin to be anxious? And I want to make it very plain right now. It is not a sin to experience anxiety, all right? It's kind of like the approach that Paul takes towards anger. He says, be angry and what? Sin not. So anger in itself is not sin. How we deal with it, how we express it, that can be sinful, okay? The same is true in regard to anxiety. So anxiety itself is not sin, but it can lead to sin if we do not deal with it in a way that honors God, such as people who are experiencing anxiety that we discussed earlier, that they attack a flight attendant, or they throw hot coffee on the person that waited on them in the line at McDonald's because they didn't give them their order right. If you respond incorrectly to anxiety, then of course that can lead to sin. But merely experiencing anxiety doesn't mean that we have failed God. In fact, it may surprise you, and I hope it will comfort you, to know that Jesus himself battled with anxiety, and we know that the Bible says he was without sin. Read with me, if you will, Mark 14, verses 32 through 42. They went to an olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. What? He became deeply troubled and distressed. That sounds like anxiety to me, doesn't it? Worry, preoccupation, fear, all right? He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me." That's a prayer that we often pray when we're anxious, right? Whatever we're going through, we're like, "God, please get me out of this. Take it away. Everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But know the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayers are here." Now, this experience takes place, as many of us know, just hours before Jesus would go to the cross. And he had just shared the Last Supper with his disciples and the fact that he would be betrayed and he would soon be arrested and crucified. And of course, we know Judas was already on his way to betray Jesus, and the time was near for him to fulfill the purpose for which he came into the earth, which was to offer his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. But I want you to look again at verse 33, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "He was deeply troubled and distressed." Many Bible scholars agree that Jesus experienced overwhelming anxiety. That's what this verse is describing, that Jesus experienced overwhelming anxiety as he faced the cross. They assert that he was anxious not just for the excruciating physical pain that the cross involved, but because of what it would mean for one who was completely sinful to carry our sins in himself to the cross. What we see happening in the garden that night is Jesus fighting a battle with anxiety. And we want to look at what he did and how he overcame his battle with anxiety. Have you heard the term hyperverbal speech? Anybody ever heard that? Well, it describes a psychological phenomena of the fact that when people are anxious or nervous, they talk a lot more than usual. Have you ever experienced that or seen someone do that? You know, you get real chatty because you're so nervous, you're just talking. When Jesus experienced anxiety, he talked as well. But he did it in a very specific way that enabled him to overcome the anxiety that he was experiencing. And we're going to look specifically at three things or three people or groups of people or things that Jesus spoke to that enabled him to overcome anxiety and will help us to find freedom as well. So the first thing you can do, and Jesus did it as well, was speak to fellow believers. Your friends, your family, your spiritual family, those who are followers of Christ. That's the first thing we see Jesus doing in the Garden of Gethsemane as he finds himself struggling with anxiety, right? He takes his disciples with him. When we're hurting, there is nothing like the comfort of family, especially spiritual family. When a child falls and gets hurt, what's the thing they do? They instinctively cry for mom or for dad, for their parents, for family. When we lose a loved one, we find comfort in gathering with family and friends, right? And life is filled with pain and suffering. And when we hurt, there is nothing like the comfort of a caring family. And the church is a family of God. We're a community of love and of grace, and we are called to comfort one another with God's words. And that word comfort is the Greek word parakaleo, and you might recognize it because the Holy Spirit is called our paraclete from that same word parakaleo, and it means one called alongside of, but it's also translated comforter. So the Greek word literally means one who's called alongside to help, to encourage, to comfort, to support. And if even Jesus needed the comfort of his friends, his spiritual family, in the most trying moment of his life, if Jesus needed that, how much more do we? So when you're feeling overwhelmed by life or you're feeling anxious, it can be very helpful to talk to godly, caring, spiritual friends. But to have friends in our hour of need, we need to build friendships long before the time of crisis, right? You can't pull them out of a hat in the moment of crisis. So for 3 years, Jesus had been investing in his friendships with these men. Now, to receive comfort, we not only need to talk to our spiritual family and tell them we need comfort, but we need to share our heart with them. Jesus knew the suffering that he was about to endure. He was facing the most intense spiritual battle of his life. So he takes his disciples with him into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And the word Gethsemane means press, because it was the location of an olive press, where the flesh of the olives would be crushed by a huge stone. And as the flesh of the olive was crushed, what did it do? It extracted the precious olive oil. Now, in Gethsemane, Jesus endured the intense pressure, the weight of what it would mean to become the Savior of the world. But through the pressure, through the pressing that he was going through, the oil of anointing, the oil of the Holy Spirit would be released in him. So he takes his disciples to pray, and he takes his three closest friends with him a little bit further, Peter, James, and John. And verse 33 says that he was deeply troubled and distressed. I like the way the Message Bible renders that passage. It says, he plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. He plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. Have you ever felt that way? You just felt like you were sinking in a deep, dark hole, that you felt like you're drowning and you just couldn't get your head above water? That's how Jesus felt, because he knew the horror of what he was about to suffer. Not only the physical torture, but he was sinless and he was about to become a sin sacrifice for the world. He was about to take the sins of the world upon himself. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made righteous through him. He became sin for us. So he was about to become hatred, prejudice, racism, murder, abuse, lust, greed, jealousy. Just name every evil that mankind has ever committed. And Jesus was about to take all of that. The sinless Son of God, the completely righteous one, was about to take all of that into his being. And he would suffer separation from the Father because of sin. The separation that we experience because of our sin, he would experience on the cross for us. Because God in his holiness cannot look upon sin. So when Jesus took the sins of the world, when he became sin for us, the Father looked away and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Why have you left me? Because he felt that separation. He who had never been separated from the Father experienced that separation on the cross. And in the middle of that sinkhole, of that deep emotional agony, what does he do? He opens up his heart in raw honesty to his friends, his spiritual family. In verse 34, it says, he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. He's saying, this is how I'm feeling. This is how I'm feeling. Stay here and keep watch with me. Stay here and pray with me. So he wanted comfort through their presence and through their prayers. Have you ever noticed how sometimes as Christians, we can lie and not even be aware that we're lying? Somebody asks us how you're doing, and we put on, $24,000 smile, and we get our spiritual voice all worked up, and we say, "I'm blessed and highly favored of God, hallelujah." And inside, your heart is being crushed, but you're not being honest. That's why I shared with you a little secret last week, that when answering the question, how are you, gets complicated for me, I say, I'm okay. Because my former pastor's wife said for her that meant omnipotently kept, amen. So no matter what we're going through, God, I'm trusting that you're in control and you're going to get me through. So Jesus spoke to his closest friends and he says, my soul is crushed. Now, I'm not saying pour your heart out to everybody. Jesus didn't pour his heart out to all 12 of his disciples even. He only poured his heart out to the three that were closest to him. And Jesus said, guys, I'm going to get real with you. My soul is being crushed right now. I'm hurting. I'm in agony. This is pressing on me, and it's so heavy that I don't know if I can endure it. I need your support. I need your presence. I need you to pray with me right now. You know, one of the biggest reasons so many people are battling with anxiety today is because they're lacking community. They have no one to talk to. God never intended us to live life alone. From the beginning, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And he wasn't just speaking about the marital relationship. He was speaking about the fact that he created us as relational beings. We were created in his image, and he exists in relationship, has always existed in relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are created in his image. We were created to live in relationship. We were not meant to live alone. And so, spiritually, he calls us to live in communion or relationship with one another in the family of God, the church. And one thing I heard last year and even into, it was last year because this year has just begun, but last year repeatedly when people started to return to church after having been out of church for months, time and time again, they would say to me, you know, Pastor, I was watching online and it was good, but I didn't realize how much I missed the people and being together in God's house. You see, there's an aspect of God's presence that is manifested to us when we are gathered together and is manifested to us through one another, through the relationships that we experience in the body of Christ. God did not create us to do life alone. We need each other. And there is no comfort like the comfort of family, especially spiritual family. We need to invest in developing meaningful and deep relationships in the family of God where we can take our mask off and say, I'm in deep agony. My soul is crushed. I need your presence right now, and I need you to pray for me. And when someone trusts us enough to say that, I encourage you, don't be judgmental. Don't say, well, you're supposed to have faith. You're a man of God or you're a woman of God. You shouldn't feel that way. Never tell anybody you shouldn't feel that way. We feel what we feel. Come on now, just be real. We feel what we feel. All right, so we need to comfort, we need to support, we need to encourage, we need to be there, and we need to pray with them. Jesus said, I need help. Can you just stay here with me and pray for a while? That's what we need to do for others when they're hurting. Just stay there with them and pray for a while. The ministry of presence, the ministry of presence. The second thing that we can do to overcome anxiety is speak to your Father. So the first thing, we speak to fellow believers. We speak to our spiritual family. But the second thing we do, we speak to our Father. You know, anxiety is a signal light alerting us that we need to pray. How many of you ever had one of those pesky little red warning lights come on your dash? You ever get those come on? Amen. Well, you know, we don't like to see them, but they're there for a reason. Amen. They're alerting us to the fact that something's wrong and we need to go to somebody who can fix it. So a while back, I had this little low tire alert icon came on orange on my dashboard. And I quickly flipped to the display panel that shows the tire pressure. And I saw that my passenger front tire was only at 23 pounds of pressure. So I came out of my car and I looked at the tire. And sure enough, I found a huge screw embedded in my tire. So I had to take my tire to Goodyear and I had to get it fixed. So I'm grateful for the light, because the light alerted me, even though at first when it comes on, it causes you anxiety, but it alerts you to the fact something's wrong and you need to get it fixed. So those warning lights, whether it's a low tire pressure or check engine light or check oil light, they're there to tell you something is wrong and you need to take it to somebody who can fix it. Well, anxiety is a lot like those warning lights. Anxiety is a signal alerting you that whatever is wrong, you need to take it to God in prayer because he's the only one that can fix it. Amen? In fact, in Philippians 4:6, Paul said, don't be anxious about anything, but instead pray about everything. So the only way that we can overcome anxiety is to pray about everything. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. We need to learn to turn every worry into a prayer. If you're worried about your marriage, if you're worried about your children, your job, your finances, your health, a decision, what's happening in the world, take it to God in prayer. Amen? That's what Jesus did. In verse 35, it says, he fell to the ground and he cried out to God, Abba, Father, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. He was saying, Father, I don't want to suffer this way. And Jesus's prayer was completely honest. It wasn't some big, flowery, eloquent speech. It was, Abba, Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to suffer this way if it's possible. He cries out from the depths of his soul. And that's what God wants us to do as well. God is concerned about everything that concerns you. When we were praying earlier, I quoted the scripture from 1 Peter. It says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. If it's on your mind, if it's bothering you, if it's worrying you, then it's on God's heart as well. Just be real with God and say, Lord, this just feels like too much for me. I don't know if I can take it. Help me. Now, he already knows how you're feeling, but he wants you to bring it to him. He wants you to cast your cares upon him. There's something freeing. There's something healing just by telling God what we're feeling. Even if the situation is still there, just the fact that we have come into his presence and we have unburdened our soul before him. When you're worried, when you're afraid, when you're filled with doubt, when you're upset, or anything else that you might be feeling, just bring it into his presence. Unburden your soul before him, and there is a freedom, there's a healing that you will experience. Just talk to God about it. He loves you. So the first thing we do is we talk to fellow believers. That's what Jesus did. The second thing we do is speak to our Father. That's what Jesus did. The third thing we do is we speak to our feelings. That's what Jesus did. How do I know? Tell your feelings that they don't control you. Jesus said, my soul is terribly distressed and troubled. In effect, I don't feel like going through this suffering. I don't feel like I can bear the suffering of the cross. He said this, if it's possible, take the cup from me. But then he went on to say, yet not my will, but your will be done. He was saying, my feelings do not control me. I am not what I feel. And sometimes you just have to talk to your feelings and bring them under subjection to the Lordship of Christ. That's what the Bible says, right? We don't battle by human means, but we have been given supernatural weapons through which we bring down or demolish the strongholds of darkness, bringing every thought that exalts itself against Christ into subjection to him. So when we have feelings that we know are not what God wants us to feel, we need to bring them under Christ's control. We need to speak to those feelings and bring them under Christ's control. And tell your feelings the truth. Your feelings are real. Your feelings are important. But your feelings are not necessarily true. What do I mean? We're talking about anxiety, right? Anxiety is worry. Do you know that research indicates, some say 85%, some studies say 90%. But whichever, it's a high number, 85 to 90% of what we worry about never happens. So your anxiety is lying to you, painting that worst case scenario picture in your mind. And really, it's the devil lying to you using those worrisome thoughts. Amen? Because the devil is a liar and fear is not of God, and fear is at the root of anxiety. Amen? And so the devil is lying at you. And so we need to speak truth to our feelings. Why waste your time worrying about things that are never going to happen? So tell your feelings the truth. Anxiety, I know that you want me to be fearful. I know you want me to worry about what's going to happen. But you know what? 90% of the time, you're not real. So I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. You say, that's crazy, Pastor Maria, talking to your fear. We talk to ourselves all the time. So don't look at me like that. All right? David did. David talked to himself or talked to his feelings. In Psalm 43, he said, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Who's he talking to? Himself. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. David was saying, discouragement and depression? Why am I even bothering to feel that way? I'm going to put my hope in God. God is going to deliver me. God is going to bring me through. My feelings are temporary because I will praise God. Amen? Jesus experienced overwhelming anxiety. He was troubled and distressed. But how did he respond? How did he overcome? He talked. He spoke to fellow believers. He spoke to his Father in heaven. And he spoke to his feelings and said, you will not rule me. Not my will, but God's will be done. And of course, we know shortly after that, they came to arrest Jesus. And he was bold, and he was resolute, and he was strong, and he was faith-filled because he had overcome his anxiety in prayer in the garden. We can find freedom from anxiety, too, if we will follow Jesus' example. We can find peace, we can find strength, we can find hope by trusting Jesus and doing what he did. And if you need peace and freedom from anxiety tonight, if you need strength, if you need hope, the first step is to come to Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? If you do not yet know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we've all had to take this step of placing our faith in Jesus and repenting of our sins, because sin separates us from God. And if we want his help, if we want his peace, we need to restore relationship with him. And the only way to do that is through placing our faith in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins and repenting. That means to turn away from our sin and turn to him, ask for his forgiveness, and invite him to live inside of me. And that's the first step to freedom from anxiety. So if you want to come to Jesus tonight, or maybe you served him at one time and you've drifted away and you need to come back, would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and I turn to you in faith, inviting you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations on making the best decision of your life, and welcome to the family of God. That prayer is a beginning, not an end. It's a beginning of a lifelong relationship with God, and we want to help you to understand how to move forward and grow in that relationship with him by sending you a free e-booklet. So if you just prayed that prayer online, just type I prayed in the comments, and then later on we will send you a response message with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email so that we can send you free of charge this e-booklet. For those of us who have already placed our faith in Jesus, are you struggling with anxiety? Would you say tonight, Pastor, I need prayer. I need God's help to be free from anxiety. I need peace. I need strength. I need hope. If that's you, would you just stand to your feet at home and here in the sanctuary? We are in our spiritual family. I experience anxiety. We all experience anxiety. Let's pray for one another tonight, would you? Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you don't condemn us. when we experience anxiety or when we worry or when we feel fearful, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you even showed us that Jesus went through that because he has experienced everything that we experience, only without sin. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for showing us that it's okay, that it's human to feel that way. But thank you that we also have help in you. So, Father, tonight we cast off our cares upon you. We cast off every anxious thought upon you, trusting in your care for us, Lord God. And, Father, I pray that you would help us to develop the habit of talking to you and turning every anxious thought into a prayer. I pray, Father, that you would help us to build a relationship with spiritual people in our life, Lord God, so that we can have their support and comfort, even as Jesus did with Peter, James, and John. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to learn, like Jesus did, to not allow his feelings to control him, but to speak truth to his feelings, to speak truth to his feelings, even the way that David spoke to his feelings, Lord God, so that we would not allow our feelings to rule over us, Lord God, and deceive us, but that we would speak the truth of your word into those feelings, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would help us to practice these three things on a regular basis to overcome anxiety in our life, and let your peace reign in the hearts and minds of your people, Lord God. In Jesus' precious and most wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you, New Life. Thank you for joining us tonight. Have a blessed rest of your Wednesday evening. Come back next week as we discuss Jesus and how we deal with anger. God bless you.